Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Please bow your head and heart with me for a word of prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And that Redeemer, Jesus Christ, dear fellow saints of the Most High God, I don't know about you, but I love a great story, especially a great story that's true and insightful. And so today, I want to tell you again a great story from the gospel reading. But before the story, a statement. So I invite you to open your personal Bible or a pew Bible to John chapter 8, verse 12. If it's RSV, it's page 97 in the New Testament. If it's NIV in the front, it's page 1662, I believe. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go on, but allow me a disclaimer. What I'm going to share is from the NIV, so folks in front have that. You can go by the bulletin, but that's ESV, so it's going to be a little different. Roll with the punches, and we're going to take our meditation off of the New International Version this morning. While you're turning there, or if you're already there, realize that in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes seven statements about himself. And each statement starts with the same two words. And while these two words are relatively harmless, to some folks, they made the hair on the back of their necks stand up. Because while most people just hear a noun and a verb, they heard a name. And not just any name like Dennis or Donna or Sally or Sam. They heard a divine name. They heard Yahweh, the name of the Lord God himself. Those two words are I am. In John 8:12, Jesus says, follow along with your eyes, I am the light of the world. And here's why he came, that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, and now how that impacts us, but will have the light of life. Listen to that statement once again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in the story we're about to hear, Jesus illuminates just like a light what he means by those words. Take a leap now in your Bible from John 8:12 to John 9 chapter 1, or go back to your bulletin, because here's the story. It's a great story. Verse 1, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Back in those days, there was a popular teaching that really is still popular today. The teaching claimed that if you were healthy and wealthy and happy, you deserved it because God was blessing you. You were such an upstanding human being. You had great behavior. You had a wonderful relationship with God. On the other hand, if you're inflicted with pain and illness, with poverty and problems, well, you deserved it too because God was punishing you for your sin. Jesus is about to shed some light on that teaching. Verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Remember the statement in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will see or have the light of life. This blind man's condition wasn't inflicted as punishment, but rather as an opportunity for Jesus to show who he was and why he came. Verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And now the work of God, verse 6. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came, remember this, came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging ask, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Not only had the light of the world just brought light into the blind man's eyes physically, but it seemed to have changed his whole demeanor. Even his neighbors weren't sure anymore if this was the same guy. Clue, whenever the light of the world displays a work of God in your life, it can change even your physical demeanor. Some of his neighbors refused to believe their own eyes. Verse 10, how then were your eyes opened? They demanded. And what we're about to see is Jesus, the light of the world, giving light not only to his physical eyes, but also to the light or eyes of his soul. Verse 11, the man once blind replies, the man they call Jesus. See, at first, he can only see Jesus as a man. The man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. So verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. When I first read that, I thought, why? Why would they bring him to the Pharisees? I could only think of one reason. The Pharisees were the religious experts of the day, and this healing of a man born blind was obviously a work of God. And if anyone could explain this to them, it was the Pharisees. Verse 14, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied. And now you can't hear it in the text, but the Pharisees at this point must have gasped. And I washed, he went on, and they gasped again. And now I see. He just gave them the facts, but verse 16 explains their reaction. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Guess why the Pharisees gasped? Jesus broke the rules. When God gave the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he had one command for the Sabbath day, and that was simply rest. The Pharisees didn't think that was clear enough, and so they added their own rules in order to illuminate God's command. The irony is that their attempt to illuminate God's commandment put them literally in the dark. What they saw was not a work of God displayed in the life of the man born blind, but they saw Jesus breaking the rules. First, he made mud on the Sabbath. Second, he applied that mud to the man's eyes. And third, he healed the man. And even the man, blind man, broke the rules. First, he walked to the pool of Siloam, then he washed, and then he walked home. The Pharisees' blind allegiance to their rules kept them in the dark. They couldn't see a work of God even when it literally stared them in the face. Look at the rest of verse 16. But others ask, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Don't miss the word signs there in verse 16. Think back to Pastor Ryan's sermon at the beginning of Epiphany at the wedding of Cana, and how he shared that the purpose of a sign in the Gospel of John is to point you to something. In the Gospel of John, the seven signs, the seven miracles of Jesus point to the work of God that has his signature, if you will, his signature all over it. But not all of them see it. Verse 17. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The eyes of the man, once blind, begin to adjust to the light. And he replies this time, he's a prophet. Now he sees that Jesus isn't just an ordinary man, but a prophet. Watch what happens. Verse 18. The Jews still did not believe that he had been born blind or had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They ask. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? Remember the first thing that the man did when he had received his sight. Back up and look again at the last line in verse 7. The man went and washed and came home seeing. So they knew, but listen to what they say, verse 20. We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. Why did his parents act like they didn't know? Verse 22 explains. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue, or in other words, excommunicated, kicked out of Zion forever, I guess. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. When you're in the dark about who Jesus really is, fear will keep your mouth shut. Verse 24. Second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Note the word summoned. You miss it in the ESB. That means that this isn't a casual conversation. This isn't something taking place on a street corner in someone's living room. No, it was an official interrogation at the local synagogue. They put him under oath. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. The blind man replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. Let me grab onto something important here. When you and I have the opportunity to share our experience with Jesus, our faith in him, you don't have to be a trained theologian. You don't have to deliver a sermon. In fact, I would suggest you don't. Just share. Just state the facts. The blind man says, this is what he's done in my life. I was blind. Now I see. Verse 26. Then they ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Watch how unafraid this once blind man becomes in verse 27. He answered, I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him, most of which I'm guessing aren't recorded here in the text, and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The irony here is that this fellow, this Jesus, is the very God who spoke to Moses. Verse 30, the man once blind grows in his boldness. The man answered, now that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And verse 34, to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. In verse 35, we see Jesus doing what he's known for doing. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And he went and found him. The gospel, the good news of God's grace, is that Jesus always comes looking for us. Because we, by our very nature, are in the dark. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, must come and find us. Back to verse 35. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Now that's a loaded title. The Son of Man came from a well-known prophecy to the Jews in Daniel 7:13. It was loaded with meaning. Son of Man was the title for the Christ, the Messiah. It was the title for the coming one who was to bring God's kingdom to earth. And when the light went on for the blind man, first he could see Jesus as a man. Then, as he adjusted to the light, he saw him as a prophet. And now, Jesus will illumine his faith fully. Jesus says to him in verse 36, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You've seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The man born blind not only saw Jesus as the healer of his body, but of his soul. He sees his full identity, not just as a man, not just as a prophet, but as the Lord God, Yahweh himself, come in the flesh. And he drops to his knees in worship. Now watch the application that Jesus makes in verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." And the Pharisees hear exactly what Jesus is saying. Verse 40, "Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and ask, 'What? Are we blind too?' Jesus said, 'If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.'" The great irony that only Jesus, the light of the world, can help us see is that as long as we think we can see, we don't. As long as we try to go it on our own by ourselves, we really are blind to him, who he is, and what he's all about. It's not until we realize that we're blind that we see, and that we start looking to God for light, for sight, for help, for guidance, for salvation. "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." So, brother and sister in Christ, are you following him? Or are you still in the dark? It's my prayer that we see him for who he is. For only the light of the world can shine within our sin-darkened hearts and minds and convince us of who he is and our need for him. We were blind, but thanks to him, now we see. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you to stand with me and sing with me the first verse of Amazing Grace. It's 744 if you don't know the words, but I think you do.